Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 56 of the Necessary Roughness Podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. I'm your host, Nicholas Denotic. Hope you all had a fantastic week and are enjoying the preseason. Well underway here. Now, as always, you guys know this, just putting it out there, it's not exactly an indicator of success for the upcoming season. You know, the Giants have been playing pretty well. I wouldn't exactly pick the Giants to win the Super Bowl. But that being said, some players show flashes of hope or make an impact and, you know, find their way onto a team. And, you know, maybe they'll come out and make a few plays this year and pop off next year. Or maybe a couple guys underperform in the preseason, wind up losing their job there, find their way to another team and find it there. So it can have an impact, but it's not exactly an indicator of what's to come, you know, one-to-one. That being said, that's not what we're here for. We are here for the AFC preview. That's right, we did the NFC last week. We're going to be doing the AFC this week. And why not get started with the division that, you know, is the easiest, the division that houses the champions of the NFL, the New England Patriots, the AFC East. Now, I'm going to keep it simple here for you. I'm not going to try and get too cute. We try to be accurate. We try to be right as many times as we can, even though it's a little bit harder than it seems sometimes. That being said, I think I'm going to have to keep it simple and take the New England Patriots to win the AFC East. Now, that being said, I do like some of the moves that have been made. I like the Jets committing to try and build around Darnold, and obviously they were going to do it anyway, but I mean bringing in Ty Montgomery to be a receiving back for them, bringing in Le'Veon Bell for an insane amount of money to be their starting back. I don't know if I'd pay him as much as they did, especially with this receiving core. Probably would have tried to go out and get a star receiver, but it is what it is. Chris Herndon, new in at tight end. You know, Ryan Khalil in there for the offensive line. Kelechi Osemele. They're trying. They're going for it, and I respect it. C.J. Mosley on the defensive side. You know, we're not talking about second place. We're talking about the defending Super Bowl champions, and they're going to be contending for another ring. They always are. They're always in contention because of that guy that lines up behind center, number 12, Tom Brady. We saw last year Sony Michel, pretty darn good pickup, and he could develop into a pretty good bell cow for them as Brady gets older. Then again, Brady doesn't age, so it doesn't really matter. But that being said, we've seen when they've been successful in the past, they've had a pretty decent running game to lean on. You know, obviously there are times where Brady goes out and does Brady things, and you don't have to worry about running the ball more than 10 times. But, you know, having a guy like Michelle, and then having a guy like James White out of the backfield as well, coupled with Burkhead here and there, is, you know, nothing but helpful. Josh Gordon reinstated. Are you going to get anything from Josh Gordon? I'm not counting on it. Julian Edelman, getting a little bit older, still one of the better wideouts in the league. Philip Dorsett hasn't really developed into what the Colts thought he would. Maybe in New England he'll be magic. Demaryius Thomas is an interesting one for me. I like that signing for them. Coming off an injury, Demaryius Thomas, always one of the more underrated number ones in the league because he is a true number one. Will they treat him as such? I'm not sure. A good O-line as usual. Gronk gone is a big one. Ben Watson coming in from New Orleans, former Patriot, coming out of retirement. I'm not sold on that. I think the production's going to come elsewhere. If we look at their depth chart real quick, they got Lance Kendricks in there. I liked Lance Kendricks when he was in St. Louis forever ago. That's before they moved to L.A. Will he be a contributor? Will he make the team? Not exactly sure. Their offense is going to be pretty good, and when it comes to postseason time, they'll step up as usual. I think this running game is going to be a factor this year, more than usual. On the defensive side of the ball, obviously everything going on with Patrick Chung. Reported charges involving cocaine. I'm not going to go too far into that. I haven't really read too much into it. But that being said, Devin McCourty, an all-pro, getting a little bit older, still a beast. His brother Jason on the outside with Stephon Gilmore, a pretty good secondary. Will Daron Harmon be able to step up and be that second safety for them alongside McCourty? We'll see how that goes, but pretty good secondary. And, you know, it's Bill Belichick. I'm not going to go too far into this. We don't need to break it down. If you're a Patriot fan and you're looking forward, September 8th, 8:20 p.m., they open the season, taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Sunday Night Football at home. Kind of weird that they're not getting the Thursday night game this year. I know it's the 100th anniversary of the league and all that, but it's a little weird for me. You know, I like that the champ usually gets to set the tone for the season. And the fact that this year, for whatever reason, they're deciding against that is... it's a little weird for me, I know. Keep the tradition for the 100th year, but whatever. They're going to be playing the AFC North and the NFC East this year. The East gives them presumably at least one free win, probably two, the Giants and Redskins. The AFC North is going to be an interesting one. It's going to be fun to see them take on the Ravens in Baltimore. It's going to be fun to see them take on Pittsburgh, obviously. And Cleveland comes to Foxborough October the 27th. We don't got to worry about that fourth team. We'll get into the Bengals later. For second place in the AFC East, I'm looking at the Jets, as I hinted. I like the things they've added around Sam Darnold, and I liked what I saw from him in his rookie season. Realistically, I could see them trying to compete for a wild card spot. Obviously, we're not doing full playoff preview. That's going to be next week. Playoff preview, postseason awards, Super Bowl picks, and everything. We're doing division by division breakdowns and just kind of going, you know, who's going to win each division for the most part. That's the focus. But either way, I like what they bring to the table. I want to see what Le'Veon Bell can do. Obviously, taking a year off for his holdout. I don't know. Is he still going to be Le'Veon Bell? But either way, I like what they bring to the table more than the Dolphins and more than the third place team, the Buffalo Bills. I do like the Bills. I like Josh Allen at quarterback. I really do. I think Josh Allen impressed much more than people thought he would. I like that they went out and signed Cole Beasley to help in this receiving core. But Cole Beasley doesn't make this team have a good offense. LeSean McCoy is getting older, and for a shifty back, they usually don't age like wine. Frank Gore has aged like fine wine, but he's... you're not going to have lightning and thunder back there like you would 5 years ago with LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore. You know what I mean? TJ Yeldon is on this team. TJ Yeldon from Jacksonville. I'm a big fan of TJ Yeldon. I'd like to see them involve him, but with McCoy and Gore on the roster, I doubt Yeldon will get much burn, barring an injury, and obviously we're not rooting for an injury. I always liked TJ Yeldon. I felt like he was not underutilized, but kind of overshined, or outshined, rather, by Leonard Fournette, and rightfully so on the ground, but Yeldon's kind of a dual-purpose back. He can catch it. He can make some people miss. He's got a little bit of power to him, and just enough speed. I think he's a solid back. Who knows? Maybe they get a little, you know, big three going in their backfield with the mobility of Josh Allen and surprise some people. On the outside for their receiving core, it's looking like John Brown, Zay Jones, and Cole Beasley in the slot. It's not great. Is it improved? Debatable. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin never gave them much last year. It's why they got rid of him. So let's see how that goes. At tight end right now, listing Tyler Croft at the number one, not really going to knock your socks off. So it's going to be a struggle again. This is the third consecutive year that I'll be saying this, as we've been doing the show now for 3 years. Can't believe we made it this far. Hooray us. Skill position players. Buffalo front office does not seem to want to acquire them for some reason. Still a great defense. Still like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde as the safeties in the backfield. Let's go with backfield. It's not the right word, but let's go with it. Tre'Davious White, a great young corner. Tremaine Edwards, let's see if what he can do with linebacker along with Matt Milano. A D-line that's got Starla Tulele, who's always been a decent to good D-tackle. Young Ed Oliver and Jerry Hughes along with Trent Murphy. It's going to be a pretty good defense. It usually is. You got to score points to win games, guys. You really got to. Your defense is not, you know, you're not the 2000 Ravens. Come on. Make some moves. It's not like skill position players weren't out there. And look, I'll give them this. Supposedly, they were trying to get Antonio Brown, and the trade either fell through, or maybe he threatened to retire, or he said he wouldn't go. He didn't exactly seem thrilled when the report was that it was done. Obviously, it fell through. He's now a Raider. So, it's a little bit tricky. I'll say that. But we're entering year number two for young Josh Allen, who impressed last year. I'm not going to lie to you. Obviously, only played 12 games, started 11 of them. 10 touchdowns, 12 picks. Not impressive. He's got a strong arm. We could see why they took him. But the mobility is what got me. 8 fumbles. You can't have that happen. You know, that's an Eli Manning stat. You're not going to win throwing more picks than touchdowns and fumbling 8 times. Come on now. He's got to work on that. And how much of that has to do with the fact that his receiving core is lackluster? A young quarterback needs some help. We saw the Jets go out and help out Sam Darnold, and he already had a better receiving core than Josh Allen. Robbie Anderson is a pretty good wideout. I'd say he could be a bona fide number two on a great team. Quincy Enunwa, low-tier number one, probably a good number two. Jamison Crowder, a decent addition. Like, they're going out and trying to build an offense, and what is Buffalo doing? They're hedging their bets. You know, John Brown, good deep threat. You got a quarterback with a strong arm, but you're not going to be able to throw the ball 50 yards down the field every play. You know, what are you going to do on third and eight? You can't always throw the ball 45 yards down the field. Well, let's see what Buffalo can do. I have him at third. If all things go right with that running back tandem and Josh Allen's development, maybe they'll push for 8-8. I wouldn't bet on it, although I will be watching keenly to see how they develop and see how they use my boy TJ Yeldon. And we get to the last place team, the Miami Dolphins. Now, Miami isn't horrible. They're not. They're not horrible, and I had considered putting them at number three. The reason I have them in last at the moment is I kind of have seen this movie before. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to get off to a pretty good start. There's a receiving core there that's not bad. It's better than Buffalo. Albert Wilson, pretty good. Kenny Stills, pretty good. Devontae Parker, pretty good. Jakeem Grant, if you want to throw him in. You know, I like what Gesicki brings to the table at tight end. You know, Dwayne Allen's there. You know, Nick O'Leary, they got a whole bunch of tight ends. Kenyon Drake in the backfield with Kalen Ballage. I like him. Mark Walton's decent. See what he brings to the table. An offensive line that is mediocre. Laremy Tunsil's developed into a pretty good tackle, but the rest of the line is not great. I'll say that. The way I foresee this is Fitzpatrick gets off to a pretty good start with throwing the ball. Then the interceptions start coming. Take a look through their schedule. They open pretty tough, so it'd be even hard to pull that movie off. They open with Baltimore at home, then the Patriots, then they go to Dallas, then they have the Chargers. Now, they have a bye after that, so if they're going in at 1-3 conservatively, probably maybe 0-4, they have Washington and the Bills out of the bye. It would make a lot of sense if that's the point where you make the switch to Rosen. Unless he's truly just underperforming and just there's nothing there. That would have to be the spot, in my opinion. After that, you'd have Pittsburgh, the Jets, the Colts, the Bills, the Browns, the Eagles. Then you have Jets, Giants, Bengals, Patriots. So if it's not then, maybe for that Jets game, or perhaps for the Giants game. That'd probably be a little bit easier. For the Giants game, which would be week 15, and then they have the Bengals next week, and you finish against the Patriots in Foxborough. Not exactly an easy landing. Like I said, I could see Fitzpatrick playing decent, playing pretty well with this receiving core and the weapons on this offense. The O-line's going to be a big problem, I think, unless a couple of these guys take a big step forward. I think that's going to be the problem. I think Fitzpatrick's going to be on his back. He's going to be under pressure. When Fitzpatrick's under pressure, usually the other team has the football, and they're running back towards Fitzpatrick's end zone. I didn't see much from Josh Rosen last year. If you listen to a couple of the episodes, he looked downright awful. Granted, Arizona was not good. They were not. Their offensive line was awful. So what happens? He gets traded. They get Kyler Murray in there, and now he's with another team with a bad offensive line. So not exactly, you know, rescued, more out of the frying pan into the fire. On the defensive side of the ball, I like a couple of the players they have. Kiko Alonso, who's developed into, you know, who's had a pretty decent career after being that Buffalo Bill, you know, out of nowhere rookie linebacker, then getting traded to Philly, and now he's over here in Miami. Xavien Howard just got his big contract. Eric Rowe of Philadelphia Eagle fame. Rashad Jones at safety. A couple of these guys are pretty darn good. I don't think they're good enough to contend, obviously. I'd say the ceiling is 8-8. And that's a very aggressive ceiling. Like I said, if we look through their schedule here, games that we could definitely chalk up as wins and you could play along at home. Baltimore in Miami. I wouldn't say you could chalk that one up. Miami against New England. Once again, at home. They've played Brady kind of hard. You know? Then in Dallas. Is Zeke playing? I don't know. Maybe they win that one? the Washington Redskins, although they have the Chargers, they're not winning that one, in all likelihood. Then they've got the Redskins after the bye. Okay, they could probably win that game. We're at one. The Bills, let's say they split with the Bills, that's two. Pittsburgh, nope. The Jets, could they split with the Jets? Maybe. Let's say yes. Let's be aggressive. Let's give them three. The Colts, they're not better than the Colts, especially in Indy. The Bills, again, we already said that. In Cleveland, not giving them that one. Against Philly, Jets again, we already split. Against the Giants, maybe. Oh, let's give it to them. Four. Against the Bengals, five. And then they close in Foxborough, like we said before. Five wins, and that's being a little aggressive. Could we see them lose to the Giants? Possibly. Could we see them lose to the Bengals? That's a little bit of a harder rub. I could see the Bengals losing that game, you know, especially towards the tail end of the year, not really playing for anything, possibly wanting to lose for draft stock to draft Andy Dalton's replacement. Could we see them losing both games to the Jets? Yeah. Yeah, I could see that happening. I really could. So Miami could very well be in a situation where they're picking top five next year. Could they be drafting, you know, their next franchise quarterback? Is that the game plan? I mean, they took a flyer on Rosen. Is Rosen going to be on his third team in 3 years? Which is unheard of for a guy picked that high. It's unlikely, I would say. But I thought it was unlikely that he'd get traded. I thought they'd let him compete with Kyler. Maybe let him go out and take a beating a little bit for the first few games. And then inevitably bench him, trade him in the offseason. Or he plays well and you got a good problem. But no, they got rid of him. Got Kyler in there. Let's see how he performs. But it's hard for me to foresee a season that ends above 500 for them. Hard for me to foresee a season that ends above third place. Good luck to them, Dolphins fans, you know. Got good weather down there. Have some fun in the sun. Don't take this one too seriously. It's a building year. And that'll take us to our second division, the division of the team that's playing New England in that first Sunday night game, and that is the AFC North. And this is a spicy one. It really is. Everyone knows I was high on Cleveland last year. I was rooting for Cleveland, honestly, to try and get into that wild card spot to see if we can, you know, raise some muck in that postseason. I'm high on Baker Mayfield. Thought he played pretty darn well last year. Obviously, I think Odell Beckham is a phenomenal wideout. Jarvis Landry's always been a star. David Njoku hasn't probably developed into the tight end they've wanted him to, but he's a decent tight end. I like Nick Chubb. It's interesting to me that they brought in Kareem Hunt to try and get a dual back system going here. Nick Chubb was pretty darn good when he got reps last year. It's interesting that they'd bring, like I said, bring in Kareem Hunt, if nothing more than because the distraction that comes with it. Obviously, he's coming off, you know, the suspension, being on the exempt list, stuff like that, for that incident, if you want to call it that. Well, can't think of a better word for it. At that, I think it was at a movie theater when he just kicked a woman, and there's video out there if you want to see it. That's all I'll really say about that one. It was kind of dark. And then on the defensive end, they bring in Sheldon Richardson, a D-tackle, Olivier Vernon to help out on that pass rush with Myles Garrett if he can stay healthy, a decent linebacking core, pretty much the same, Denzel Ward, pretty good corner, Demarius Randall, former Packer, Morgan Burnett, also a former Packer. A lot of new guys in here, and there's a big new addition where it matters, in my opinion, and it's the head coach. Freddie Kitchens, you know, essentially promoted. We saw Greg Williams was running the team last year on an interim basis. Freddie Kitchens supposedly gets along well with Baker. He's Baker's guy. He's got to win. This is year one, but he's got to win. He's coming in. He's got a team with a star back in Kareem Hunt and a Nick Chubb, who's a young rising star running back from how he looked last year, two superstar wideouts, a pretty good third option in Rashard Higgins, you know, a number one pick quarterback who looked like he's ready to develop right away. Look, he's like he's ready to contend, you know, in Baker Mayfield. On the defensive end, Myles Garrett, rising star pass rusher, Sheldon Richardson, former high pick, helping clog the middle. Olivier Vernon on the tail end of that big Giants contract. There's a lot of talent on this team. Not to mention, since they were a lower place finisher, they're playing a slightly, in theory, easier schedule, you know, than some of their competitors, obviously. So how do we think this is going to go? I'm going to be honest with you, looking around, I tend to think that this Cleveland Browns team can actually win this division. I do. You know, looking at Pittsburgh losing Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, it's going to be hard to come back from that. This is it's not a building year when you have a quarterback that's as old as Ben Roethlisberger, but this is kind of an in-between year. I think maybe they'll gear up to a push next season. There's still a lot of talent there, obviously, in Pittsburgh, and I think Pittsburgh may have a chance to push for a wild card. They always do. But Baltimore is a darn good squad, too, and I like Lamar Jackson. I didn't exactly like what I saw out of him passing last year. I don't know if some of that was schematic. Some of it was performance. I think he's better than some of the throws he put on out there and some of the games he had passing-wise, especially in the playoffs where they bottled him up. Got bottled up for the bulk of that game until they took their Chargers took their foot off the gas pedal and let him back into it. I think the Browns are going to win this division. I do. I think they're going to have a top 10 passing attack in the league. I'm hesitant to say I think they're going to have a great running game. I think with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, you have to. But that being said, they traded Zeitler to the Giants in the Olivier Vernon thing. That loosens up their offensive line a little bit. Still like Joel Bitonio at left guard. J.C. Treader's pretty decent center. So inside, probably where they live. Trying it a little bit on the outside, maybe in the screen game, kind of act as a pseudo-running game. I think this team's going to be damn good. I do. I really do. Which leaves me in the predicament of debating who's in second. And I'm probably going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. Underrated my boy Willie Snead, if you remember him from 2 years ago when I called him out to be the big playmaker in the Vikings-Saints game forever ago in the postseason. If you were there for that, thank you for sticking around. If you weren't, you made that big fourth down catch. Whatever. Made that big catch. Willie Snead, per Baltimore's own statistics, entering camp as their number one wideout, and that's not going to do it for me. Obviously, this is a team that's going to run first, you know, and they signed Mark Ingram to help lead the way, but am I exactly sold on an aging Mark Ingram along with the elite athleticism of Lamar Jackson? I'm not sure. I like the pieces they have on their O-line. Nick Boyle's a decent tight end, you know, but this is not a team that's going to be passing the ball all over the yard. And in today's league, that could be a problem. You know, they bring in Pernell McPhee on the defensive end. It's going to be interesting for me to see how Earl Thomas slides into that Eric Weddle role. I think he could do it. He could still play, presumably, if he's rehabbed, you know, 100% from that leg injury, gruesome leg injury, and then he flips off Pete Carroll, which was a joke and a half. But with Tony Jefferson, who's a good safety, alongside him, along with Marlon Humphrey and Jimmy Smith on the outside, they could have a pretty darn good defense. And minus Terrell Suggs, though. And that's another thing. And I'm not in the locker room. I can't tell you how that'll affect the dynamic. But I'll say this. Losing a guy like Terrell Suggs, who's been there forever. He was there when they won the ring. And that's the big thing. They've lost a lot of the ties to that Super Bowl team. Who's left? Tell me. I mean, the Raven fans, you're out there. Let us know in the comments wherever you're watching this, or listening to this, rather, or on Twitter, social media, at Nick Donatic, whatever. How to spell it in the description, as always. Let me know. What do you think? Jimmy Smith, probably one of the last pieces left. Who's left? Marshall Yanda? You know, a lot of these guys weren't there. This is not the same Ravens team that went out there with Ray Lewis and had that magical run. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you got to reset from time to time. People get older. But this is a completely different squad. Moving on from Flacco kind of signaled that. It was time. We talked about that last season. It was time to move on. Lamar gave him a spark. Will his spark of athleticism and this running game be enough? Will they be able to game plan for it? Because he didn't look great throwing the ball last year. I think he takes a step forward, but I also think the defenses take a step forward in finding a way to defend against their scheme. So I'll say this will be my third place team, but it'll be close. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Obviously, it's not the Bengals. We talked about that. Losing Antonio Brown is going to be phenomenally huge. I think moving on from Lev Bell will be a little bit easier. Not because Lev Bell isn't as talented, but because James Conner is a capable back. James Conner is a do-it-all back. He's not as quick, not as shifty, but he's a darn good running back. And you fill in some of the gaps with guys like Jalen Samuels. Maybe you get some spark from guys that we haven't heard of yet. And, well, and I don't say that being, you know, hopeful or anything, but I'm saying, you know, a guy like Jalen Samuels looked pretty decent last year. How many of us knew Jalen Samuels would be a productive, you know, change of pace back or a productive fill-in on occasion? Not really. Now, I like Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he's a fantastic number two. How's he going to do as a number one? I don't know. I'm intrigued to see. I think he's a great wideout. I think he'll be pretty good. Will this offense be able to use him as frequently as they did last year in the number two spot? I'm not sure. They'll have to use him more. They'll have to use him in the Antonio Brown role, and that's a lot of targets. And if the targets aren't going him, they're going to go to Vance McDonald at tight end. Is Vance as good as, you know, a Heath Miller used to be? No, but he's a capable tight end. Dante Moncrief is an interesting one on the other side. Dante Moncrief, who I always thought was more talented than his production when he was in Indianapolis. Maybe he takes a step forward in this offense. I could see it happening. Ryan Switzer is on this team. You know, maybe he'll fill in a little Cole Beasley role. He was always the discount Cole Beasley when he was in Dallas. So maybe he'll step up. Eli Rogers has shown flashes. James Washington has been decent. On the defensive side of the ball, I think this team is pretty good. I like T.J. Watt. I like their linebacking core, to be honest. T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree opposite him, I'm a fan of that duo. I like Mark Barron, who's never really been able to live up to the hype, so to speak. He was a decent safety. He's a decent linebacker. He's got the tools to be, you know, an elite-level player, in my opinion. He's got the athleticism, at least. I'm not sure why it's not coming together, but that is what it is. He's got Devin Bush with him, so he's going to have to perform, or Devin's going to take his job. Vince Williams, solid inside linebacker as well. Cameron Hayward, always a beast on the D-line. Stephen Tuitt's been pretty good. Tyson Alualu, who has been around forever at this point, pitching in. I'm not super sold on this secondary. Sean Davis, Terrell Edmonds. I'm not saying they're a bad safety duo. I think they're pretty good, but Joe Hayden's getting older. Is Joe still going to be able to do it? I don't know. Mike Hilton on the other side. Will he take a step forward? I'm not sure. I think these guys are going to be involved in... It's tricky. I want to say they're going to be involved in more shootouts than they want to be, but perhaps that'll lead them to kind of scheme into, you know, let's get James Conner the ball, let's pound the rock a little bit. Especially with this receiving core. Maybe we see some old-school kind of Steeler football. You know? I think that's interesting to me, and I want to see how it develops. I like Mike Tomlin. I think if anyone can pull it together, it's Mike Tomlin, and they still have a solid offensive line. So, could I see the Pittsburgh Steelers pushing Cleveland? Of course. I could see Baltimore pushing Cleveland. This is the probably the closest division. I'm not sure. One of the closer divisions in the league. It's not the AFC East, put it that way. It's not, you know, the NFC West, you know, but when you talk about this and then you talk about divisions like the AFC South, which we'll get into in just a sec, you know, those teams are all pretty evenly matched. This division, you have three teams that could relatively easily, say, slide them 1-2-3, and I wouldn't be mad at it, and I wouldn't be shocked. If you went Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Baltimore, vice versa, Cleveland, Baltimore, whatever, Baltimore, whatever, doesn't matter. These teams are all pretty close. I think Cleveland has the most talent, but will they be able to maximize that? I'm a little skeptical of that coaching staff. Baltimore, will they be able to get that same Lamar magic? And Pittsburgh, where are they going to fill in the pieces? If Dante Moncrief steps it up, this team could easily push Cleveland and Baltimore, could easily try and win this division. You know, if they schematically take a step forward and mix it up, change their identity a little bit, maybe go back to a little bit of a more gritty style, which, I don't know, would Ben be a fan of that? Maybe. Maybe, in the latter stages of career, he would. Tell you what, he'd take less hits. And he takes a lot of those. Which leaves us with the last place squad, the Cincinnati Bengals. Used to be the kings of the on-paper AFC North, you know? AJ Green, Tyler Eifert, Dalton was decent, Joe Mixon's taking a step forward, he's a pretty solid back. You know, whatever happened in his past, we're not here to talk about that. Gio Bernard, who's, if he's your backup running back, you got a pretty good back starting. John Ross, you know, who's got blazing speed, hasn't really developed into the solid wideout people expected he would. The O-line is questionable. The secondary is decent. I like William Jackson. Drake Kirkpatrick's getting a little bit up there. Darqueze Dennard hasn't really developed into the corner they thought he would, but he's pretty good. Some guys you probably never heard of in the linebacking core. Geno Atkins still there at D-tackle, and Carlos Dunlop still there on that big deal. The thing with the Bengals was always health, and we've already seen it. AJ Green already nicked up. I think this team is mediocre at best, and I think when injuries start coming, and let's take a look at their schedule real quick. They open against Seattle. It's probably a loss in Seattle. Then they have San Fran at home, probably a loss. Then they're in Buffalo, probably a loss. Then they're in Pittsburgh, probably a loss. Cardinals at home could be their first win. That puts them at 1-4, tentatively. Then they're in Baltimore, probably a loss. Then they have Jacksonville, probably a loss. You see where we're going with this? Then they have the Rams, 1-7. Then they have the Ravens at home after a bye. Could see a quarterback change there if they are 1-7, but who do they go to? Do they go to the young Ryan Finley? You know, Ryan Finley, not really well-known, NC State rookie, fourth-round draft pick. I watched him against the Giants this past week. He looked decent. He did. He didn't look bad. 14-20, $1.55. I tell you that much. He definitely didn't look bad. If Dalton's not doing so hot, this could be the time to go to him. It could be the end of an era, so to speak. If Finley plays well, you never know. But if they're playing poorly, they'll probably be in the quarterback sweepstakes or try and make a deal if Finley plays so well. Coming out of that, obviously, like I said, with the Ravens, probably a loss. And they have the Raiders in Oakland. I believe they're still playing in Oakland. The Oakland Raiders, as we're pushing towards the Las Vegas Raiders, eventually, Raiders, it puts them about, 2-8? Pittsburgh again, 2-9. Jets, 2-10. Cleveland, 2-11. New England, 2-12. Miami, they could win that one. So what are they winning? We're looking at 6 or less. Anything above 6 is a successful year, except if you're a Bengals fan. And comment down below, let me know, hit me up, wherever. What do you guys think? If you're a fan of a team like this that's clearly sitting in no man's land, right? It would be a miracle season to make the postseason. And there are teams like this in every division, right? We're looking at a team like the Dolphins. We're looking at a team like the Broncos. We're looking at a team like the New York Football Giants. You know, where you, well, maybe the Giants aren't in that equation, but you don't necessarily have the successor to your quarterback on the roster. Drew Lock, maybe. Daniel Jones, maybe. They drafted him high. You know, Rosen, is he? I don't know. Where are you rooting for your team to lose? You know, close losses. I'm not saying get blown out every game. And then be in it for Tua or be in it for whoever is available and either draft an impact player that could seriously alter your team or trade that pick, get a bunch more picks, and lay the foundation for what could be, you know, the next decade. What are you rooting for? Would you rather have this 1 year of, you know, oh, we had a miracle year with Andy Dalton and we won 10 games and we lost in the divisional round? Because I tell you what, this team is not good enough as presently constituted. I miss Tyler Boyd, sorry. Tyler Boyd's a great player. Also battled injuries. But this team, as presently constituted, even if all the cards go their way, they're not Super Bowl contenders. They're just not. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know what I mean? You can't always be a contender. There's always a downswing. Not everyone, no one can be New England. That's, you know, miraculous in terms of front office management and roster management and things like that, and just getting lucky. You know what I mean? Tom Brady being this good for this long, that's luck. Obviously, it's skill on his part, but you know what I mean? It's a severe amount of, hey, he hasn't had degenerative knees. He tore his ACL and he bounced back like a champ. You gotta get a little lucky sometimes, and I don't think the Bengals, even with all the chips on their side, are really able to get lucky this year. Like I said, we're gonna move on from here to the AFC South. Now, this division might be more interesting than the last, and here's why. So, we're looking at a division where you have a former, well, a star quarterback who was a prodigy in Andrew Luck, college superstar turned budding star quarterback in Deshaun Watson. Mariota, who used to, you know, loosely be called Mary, you know, Mary Goda, Heisman contender, you know, top draft pick. And then you have the guy who's the most accomplished, who's the Super Bowl MVP on arguably the worst team in the division. Arguably, we'll get to that, in Nick Foles and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to take the Colts to win this division, because this team might be the most well-rounded. And I say that with an upward inflection because I'm not sure. You know how high I am on Houston. Usually, Houston's the team for me that's the go-to in this division. I'm a huge fan of their defense, as always, you know. And the thing, I can't pick Houston because they can't stay healthy. I don't know if it's snake-bitten. I don't know if it's the trainers. Did the Astros get all the luck that one year they won the World Series? I mean, what is it? Because when push comes to shove, since then, people can't stay on the field. Whether it be J.J. Watt finding an injury or, you know, Clowney not signing the franchise tag, Deshaun Watson getting nicked up. What's next? Is DeAndre Hopkins battle some injuries from here and there? You know, and they still don't, in my opinion, have a solid number two. I like Kiki Kuti as a contributor. I like Will Fuller as a decent wideout, probably good number three, but I don't think he's the go-to number two. They didn't address that concern. At tight end, they didn't really sign a super game changer. Tried to shore up the line a little bit, brought in Matt Khalil. I think their line is still decent at best. Duke Johnson's going to be a good change of pace in the backfield. Lamar Miller, that's going to be interesting. I like Bradley Roby with Jonathan Joseph. I like Aaron Colvin. I liked him a little bit when he was in, I believe he was in Jacksonville. I like Gibson. I like Justin Reed. I love the defense, and I like the personnel somewhat on offense, but it's health. And that's going to put them in second place for me. I'm going to have to go with the Colts, like I said. Andrew Luck is a different quarterback than he was when he first got hurt. The arm strength is clearly not there, but it should be a little bit better now that he's a year removed and a full year of reps and workouts. Marlon Mack, they might have stumbled onto something here with Marlon Mack, with Nyheim Hines, excuse me, also contributing in that backfield. Marlon Mack looked damn good last year during the stretch run. Eric Ebron, who would have thought he would go to Indy and start producing like they thought he would in Detroit. T.Y. Hilton, another cause for pause. T.Y. is a great receiver, fantastic in that A tier, you know, top tier, but he's a little guy, finds ways to get nicked up. Probably got to, I don't know about that one. Is he going to be out there the whole season? Can't play for injuries all the time. Can't pick for injuries, rather. Zach Pascal contributed. I think it'll be interesting to see him. Chester Rogers as well. They got Roger Lewis on their roster right now. Will he make the team? I'm not sure. He was decent in flashes for the New York Giants. Devin Funchess is like the polar opposite of T.Y. Hilton, right? He's the big, kind of slower target. T.Y. is the shifty, put him in the slot, let him run kind of guy. He'll run right by you. Devin Funchess is the jump ball type of receiver. Is he going to develop into, you know, he was supposed to be Kelvin Benjamin part two, and now Kelvin Benjamin isn't even Kelvin Benjamin anymore. So will he contribute? I'm intrigued to see. I like the fact that they're still running with Doyle also. Doyle and Ebron, a good combo at tight end. I like that they brought in Justin Houston. Veteran leadership, always good. Him with Jabal Sheard is going to be interesting. Guys are getting a little old, but let's see if they can still contribute. Darius Leonard, the best young linebacker in football. The secondary, I like Malik Hooker. Clayton Gethers is pretty good. Kenny Moore and Pierre Desir, not exactly, you know, not exactly Revis and, you know, Tlaib from forever ago. But in this division, you look around, you're not exactly dealing with, you know, Randy Moss. You're going to have to deal with DeAndre Hopkins, but not worried about too much receiving threats down in Tennessee. No star wideouts, at least this thus far, to speak of. We'll talk about that in a sec. But in Jacksonville, it's the same. You're not going to get anything crazy, so it shouldn't hurt them on that front, and they should be able to win this division. Like I said, second place, I'm going to have Houston. I love Houston's roster. I love their defense. I think they'll probably push for a wild card spot, if not the division title. I can't. They always, they're snake bitten. The injuries always get to them. I think their defense is going to be great. I think Deshaun Watson is going to take a step forward. I think with Lamar Miller getting the change of pace of Duke Johnson, it's going to be a little bit better. Maybe they'll involve them in the passing game to simulate a running game, you know, short passes, screens, and stuff like that. Still wish they would have went out and got a legit number two. They were out there. Even if it's a guy, you know, they tried to do the Demaryius Thomas thing. Didn't work out. It's a shame. I can understand not wanting to bring him back after that. That's whatever. Let's see how it goes for them. Hopefully they can stay healthy. If they can stay healthy, they can threaten in this division, and they can threaten in the AFC. Next, in third place, it's going to have to be the Tennessee Titans. And I wrestled with this one wrestled. Yeah, I wrestled with this one just like I did the first one. I could see it being Indy or Houston in first or second, and the other pushing for a wild card spot. I can see it being Tennessee or Jacksonville in third, and the other pushing for, you know, last. I think Mariota's coming upon that point where it's put up or shut up, and he's got to try and perform. I still don't think they've ever put a great receiving core around him, and that's really hurt him. And, you know, they have a decent O-line. They got Derrick Henry. They got Deion Lewis, which was supposed to be a big thing for them for some reason. You know, because signing guys away from New England always works, right? Delanie Walker's still putting up pretty good stats, still playing pretty well at tight end. On the defensive side of the ball, still got some playmakers. Kenny Vaccaro in there at safety. Kevin Byard, arguably one of the best safeties. He is one of the best safeties in the league, arguably the best safety in the league. You know, you got Malcolm Butler. They signed him away from New England. Logan Ryan, they signed him away from New England. I see a trend. You know what I mean, guys? It hasn't really ever come together for them. I'm not sure why that would be. It's, you know, it's not like a sport like baseball where you can get outspent because you're a small market. You're working on a salary cap here, so all the teams have all the same amounts of money, but it seems that they just never prioritize the receiving core, in my opinion. They got a lot of young guys that are pretty good, but and I say pretty good, you know, maybe a little bit of hyperbole. They're decent, but they've never had a guy take that step forward. Like Tajae Sharp, decent wideout. Tywan Taylor, decent wideout. Adam Humphries, decent wideout, formerly of Tampa. Corey Davis, probably their best. Is he great? No. Is he good? Sure. You know, this is a team that's run first, but with a guy like Mariota being your quarterback, and you're going to have to pay your quarterback, so you might want to eventually start working, like we saw it in Seattle, start working towards being pass more, you know? It's not only that it's the way the NFL is now, because you can win running the ball if you're good enough at it and you have a good defense, but when you're going to have to sign your quarterback to a huge deal, and I think they would probably have to if they want to keep him, you're going to have to put stuff around him, and it's harder when he's making that money, so it's whatever. Third place, only not in last because the Jaguars are in this division. And here we are with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and this one hurts a little bit. I was rooting for Tom Coughlin to build this team into a winner. I like Doug Marrone, went to my high school, fun fact. Herbert H. Lehman High School in the Bronx. Another team that just never really built a receiving core. They had Hearns and Robinson, and they were good. They were both good, and then they let Hearns go, and now Robinson. And now they got Dede Westbrook, who's decent, and Marquise Lee, who's a good contributor. Chris Conley's all right. DJ Chark is all right. Terrell Pryor is not a number one. You know, he's decent. They got some pieces on the O-line. They still got Leonard Fournette. They got Nick Foles, who the reason I have them in last is because Nick Foles has never played up to his potential outside of Philadelphia. And I'd say that probably continues, especially on a team like this. Their defense is fantastic. We know that already. You know, Jalen Ramsey, A.J. Boye, arguably the best corner duo in the league. You throw in Miles Jack at middle linebacker, who's killing it. You have a D-line of Ngakoue, Darius, and Campbell. We get it. Your defense is going to be pretty good, or should be at least. The offense just isn't going to cut it for me. You know, you look through, if we can go through their schedule real quick, they're going to be taking on the AFC West this year and the NFC South. So they open against Kansas City. No chance. Then they got Houston in Houston. Not buying it. Then on a short week, they've got Tennessee at home. That could be their one to steal. Then on a long week, they go to Denver. Could win that one. They could be sitting at 2-2 there. You never know. Then they're in Jacksonville, home to the Saints. In Cincy, that's another one. Home to the Jets. Could steal that one. You never know. With Nick Foles at the helm, anything is possible. They've got Houston one more time. Then after the bye, they're in Indy, in Tennessee, home to Tampa. Then the Chargers come to town. They're in Oakland, they're in Atlanta, and they end at home against the Colts. I say this with a lot of teams, 8 wins is the ceiling, yeah. I mean, I'm very aggressive with the 8 wins is the ceiling thing. More likely it's, you know, between 4 and 8 is the range that's in the likelihood for this team. Sorry, Jags fans. I don't understand why, and it's, you know, now it's Tom Coughlin, so you wonder. I mean, you can only be hard-nosed for so long. if you're just not excelling at it, I mean, what went wrong for them last year? We all watched it, you know. It was poor quarterback play from Bortles. He took a step back. Obviously, he was going to take a step back. We knew he was going to take a step back. The only people that didn't know he was going to take a step back were in that, you know, in that front office, I guess. They took another chance on him. And why? Why bother? Should have cut bait. Cut bait, make a move, or a QB. Now they go out and they get Nick Foles. Good for you. Good. Nick Foles is a good addition. But I'll be on. And look, they had to make that move, right? They had to get a quarterback. But I'll say this, like I've said before, it's never clicked for him. For some reason outside of Philly, is it a comfort thing? Is it for some reason they don't play his I don't know, to his skill set? That wouldn't be it. I mean, obviously he wasn't given the chance to start elsewhere. He got a little bit of a look when he was in, I believe it was still St. Louis then. But come on, guys. I didn't believe in Nick Foles during that Super Bowl run, and he burned me. So maybe he turns his team around. You know, I rooted for him. I did. You know, he's the underdog Cinderella story, and you always got to root for those. Except when they're playing your favorite team, obviously. But even then, you feel it a little bit. Sorry, Jacksonville in the gutter again, and I hope for their sake that they can get out of there again. Which leaves us with the AFC West, which many would say is the division of the team with the best talent, with the best upside in the AFC. And I'm going to give the AFC West, obviously, to the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending champion of this division. Pretty solid O-line. Still got Tyreek Hill out there, even after everything that happened this offseason. Still got Travis Kelce. Still got Sammy Watkins, who contributed more than he did in Buffalo. And then you got Mahomes, who's phenomenal. You got Carlos Hyde in there, who I think is an under-the-radar addition. You know, Damian Williams. The running game's going to be... It's not going to be sketch, because it was still pretty good, minus Kareem Hunt last year, because of the threat that was Mahomes. But I don't think it's going to perform as well as it did last year. On the defensive side of the ball, pretty good. Brought in Tyrann Mathieu to fill in for Eric Berry. Not a bad replacement. Kendall Fuller out there with Bashaud Breeland. Pretty good corner tandem. Reggie Ragland in the middle with Anthony Hitchens. Frank Clark. You know, there's a lot of talent on this team, period. I think that they're probably easily going to contend for a bye. You could argue that they'll probably contend for the best record in the AFC. And the interesting thing for me, as it was last year, is that the Los Angeles Chargers are fantastic, and they're stuck in the rearview mirror. You know, I think this Chargers team is going to contend. I have them in second. I could easily, you know, and I say this tentatively, I could easily see this team pushing the Chiefs for, like they did last year, pushing the Chiefs for first place, pushing the Chiefs for that high AFC playoff spot. And I say that because they're just that good. I say tentatively, rather, because Melvin Gordon isn't reporting. If Melvin Gordon was there, I really, really like their tandem of Gordon, Eckler, and then Justin Jackson on occasion. With Eckler starting and Justin Jackson filling in, I think it's going to be a little bit tighter. I think Mike Williams is a solid number two at this point. Hasn't developed into the wideout they thought he would. Thought he'd be Mike Evans, but, you know, solid number two. Keenan Allen, fantastic when he could stay healthy. Travis Benjamin in that slot, speedy wideout kind of role. A good O-line anchored by Mike Pouncey. And a defense that's featuring, you know, name brands. Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, Thomas Davis is out there. You know, Denzel Perriman in the middle. Corners, you know, Casey Hayward, Desmond King, Michael Davis. You know, it's a pretty darn good team. It is. Like I said, if Melvin Gordon were to come in, I could see this team pushing for first. Without Melvin Gordon, it's hard for me to see that. Although it's not impossible. I'm very high on Eckler, and I do very much like Justin Jackson. But I'm not sure if he's ready to play that big of a role yet. Last year, he showed a little bit. Let's see if he can take that step forward. Third place in this division, I'd say either is not going to be a playoff team in all likelihood. I am on the fence as to which team I would probably think should be in third. My gut is telling me to take the Raiders, but I was high on the Raiders last year, and it didn't exactly work out. So I'm going to take Denver in third here, and it's really a pick your poison. So they go out and they get Joe Flacco because why not? Why not? Why not go get Joe Flacco? Okay, sure. Sure, John Elway, whatever. Go out and get Joe Flacco. See if we can get a little win now shenanigans going. I like their receiving core. I like Emmanuel Sanders, even if he is aging. I like the flashes, you know, the little spurts of excellence from Cortland Sutton. I like Tim Patrick. I like some of these guys that they have out there. Decent O-line, not great. Probably on the lower end of decent, if you know what I mean. Mediocre to decent. Noah Fant, new tight end. Can he develop into a threat? Jake Butt hasn't developed into a threat. Somebody's got to step up. Bug Howard, can somebody step up out of that tight end room? I like their running back room. Philip Lindsay burst onto the scene. Phenomenal. Says here they have Theo Riddick on their roster. Will Theo make the team? I don't know. In all likelihood. Like I said, these are working off unofficial depth charts. Theo Riddick, a great change of pace when he was in Denver, and when he was in Detroit. And it's really interesting to me to see how they could utilize Lindsay and Riddick together, because they're different but similar. They can both catch the ball out of the backfield very well. They're both kind of shifty. Lindsay's quicker. Riddick's a little bulkier, I would say. Not much, but you know, he's not Brandon Jacobs, but he's a little bulkier. I think that'd be an interesting duo. And then you got guys that could pitch in, you know, just running the rock, Royce Freeman, Devontae Booker, that have shown that they could be decent backups. Do we see Drew Lock this year is the question. Looking through their schedule, they've got Chicago, then Green Bay, then Jacksonville. Then they've got the Chargers, the Titans, the Chiefs, the Colts, the Browns. It's a little tough for me to see a soft landing spot. If we were to see Drew Lock, like, you know, an easy two-game set, maybe they end the year at home against Detroit and then at home against the Raiders. If the season is lost at that point, you might as well bring in Drew. I'm not sure it will be lost. I think this team will be decent enough to be in the mix for the bulk of the year. Relatively in the mix, you know, towards the middle of the pack, so to speak. And I didn't even get to the defensive side of the ball. I love their defense, as usual. You know, Chris Harris is getting a little bit older, but he's still fantastic. Bryce Callahan, who's had spurts, plays well in spurts. Kareem Jackson, former, you know, Pro Bowl corner, playing safety for them. Justin Simmons, who's looked pretty good. Sua Cravens, who used to leap off the screen. Von Miller, obviously. Bradley Chubb, probably the best linebacking duo, pass-rushing linebacker duo in the league, you know. Last year, there was at one point Bradley Chubb had a higher sack total, I believe, than Von Miller, which was fantastic. You know, the rich get richer in taking him at that spot. I think that's still going to be a question for a couple of years. They took him there, didn't try to trade down, didn't do anything with it, but there's no doubt that he's a solid contributor and already a solid pass rusher in the league. Either way, I think third place is where they'll live. They're not as good as the Chargers. I wouldn't argue that, unless Joe Flacco turned into, you know, playoff run Joe Flacco. And even then, I think it'd be close. They're going to be an interesting team, though. I think this is a team that could probably wind up in that 6-9 win range, kind of on the outside looking in. But, you know, give just enough hope in some of their players that, you know, all right, well, let's see. Do we get Flacco another year? Who knows? Which would leave me in last place with the forever intriguing and befuddling Oakland Raiders. Derek Carr, I like Derek Carr. Great quarterback. Well, good. Never took that jump. He was having a fantastic year, and then he got hurt. Hasn't really been the same. Josh Jacobs, rookie back. Doug Martin was pretty productive for them last year. Nice little duo. Jalen Richard pitches in. Tyrell Williams, a good wideout for the Chargers for a while. They're going to have him be their number two. Hunter Renfrow, obviously the college pedigree. He's their number three. Antonio Brown. We don't need to talk about Antonio Brown. He's one of the best wideouts in the league. Probably on a Hall of Fame arc in his career. Off the field issues, not as bad as you'd think. You know, he's not, you know, getting caught, you know, stealing cars. He's not getting caught, you know, with possession of stuff. He's not on video beating anyone up, but he's a more traditional distraction, I would say, which is a good thing if you're a front office member, but it's a bad thing if you're a coach, because it's still a distraction, you know, trying to sue the league to wear the same helmet. Come on now, dude. Really? J.J. Nelson on this squad, always a good speed threat. Dwayne Harris on this squad, more of a returnman slash, you know, whatever, but maybe he'll pitch in. Some pretty good O-linemen on this team. Gabe Jackson, Rodney Hudson, Incognito, who's still pretty good. I was tempted to say this team would be decent. I thought they'd be great last year, and they were awful. So I'm going to go with they're going to be mediocre at best. I like Cleveland Farrell, one of my favorite defensive players from this past draft, and the Raiders got him at the end. Jonathan Hankins at D tackle, Vontaze Burfict, who hasn't really brought that same spark, Brandon Marshall, who's pretty good. I like Joyner at safety, but you know, I don't think this team is going to be great. I think they'll be mediocre at best. Like I said, this is a great division. You could say from top to bottom, this is, I don't know, there's a lot of good divisions out there this year. I think the NFC North is great. I think it's good from top to bottom, and I think it's great. Although we'll see one of those teams probably win four games, maybe look like a clown. A lot of these teams on paper are pretty darn good. I'll say that. So, just to wrap it up, I've got my division winners as the Patriots, the Cleveland Browns, the Colts, and the Kansas City Chiefs. In the wild card mix, we'll get in the next episode who I think will make the wild card. Chargers definitely in the mix. Houston's in the mix. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, the Jets. We got the outside looking in bunch. You know, a team like Denver, probably outside looking in. Maybe the Bills if they get hot, but I doubt it. But that's it. For now, that'll wrap up episode 56. Thank you for joining us for episode 56 of the Necessary Roughness Podcast, presented by Last Word on Sports. As always, like I said last time, we're back on the weekly schedule, so we will see you next Saturday for our playoff and postseason award preview. As always, I'm your host, Nicholas Donatic, signing off.